Welcome everybody to our midweek Bible study. I want to say that it always pleases me when people desire to get together, even online, to study God's Word. So tonight we're going to delve into the book of Esther, and we're going to be looking at the subject which we've been pursuing in the last couple of weeks, titled Authentic Faith. So before we start, let's just pray. Lord Jesus, we come into your presence now, Lord, to help us in this study. Not just to hear or just to learn, but Lord, to apply to our lives. We acknowledge, Lord, that we all need more faith. We need to trust you more and more each day. So as we study, Lord, challenge us and help us in this determination, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. We've got Davina with us on the camera. Thank you, Davina. And my granddaughter, Sarah, is going to be reading some of the scriptures for us. And I appreciate that, what they're doing. So what are we studying? You would have heard this before. Esther's authenticity in pursuing holiness, walking by faith and stepping out in boldness demonstrates that through God we can stand victorious in the middle of uncertain circumstances. In this series of lessons, we are studying what it means to authentically demonstrate our faith in God. So to begin with, Sarah is going to read to us from the book of Esther, chapter 4 and verse 12. If you quickly look at that, Sarah will read that to us.
When Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, he sent back this answer: "Do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this."
For such a time as this. There are many times in our lives when we will be in circumstances for such a time as this. To represent God, to be there to uphold our faith and our trust in him. As we've read about Esther's life and studied in the book of Esther, we can see how God was moving and working in every single situation that she and Mordecai faced. Strangely enough, as you've already heard, in the book of Esther, there is never a mention of the word God, but it's still in the Bible. Rather than telling us God was present for the things that happened, the author of Esther chose instead to show us what happened because of Esther's authentic life. So we can learn a lot from Esther, and that's no doubt why this series of studies has been chosen, and we're going to learn a little bit more tonight. As you have already studied, King Ahasuerus, in the process of selecting a queen, had women to parade before him. And Queen Esther was chosen because of her authentic holiness. Rather than trust in her own ability to beautify herself, she stayed true to herself and trusted the king's advisor. Of course, God's hand was in all of this. And Jesus is our source of holiness. And when we allow him to be our source of holiness, what we will find is that his glory will shine through us. People, you may not believe this, you may not understand it, but people will see things in us that maybe we can't see because we're us, but they can see something different which will impact upon them. Holiness does not come from holy actions. Holiness comes from God because he is holy. We don't reflect God's holiness by just copying what other people do. Maybe we look at other people and we think, wow. But we need to reflect God's holiness by learning what pleases him and working to live out those things. Sometimes it's just easier to copy other people. But we need to know God's word and allow him to shine through us. So we come to the story. Already we have heard that Esther's uncle, Mordecai, uncovered a plot to kill the king. He and Esther worked together to alert the king of the situation. They chose to do this even in the midst of danger because it was the right thing to do. In our lifetime, in our everyday life, there are going to be times when we're faced with situations that place us in an awkward position. And we must always choose to do the right thing. But tonight's study is about an even bigger plot. In this plot, Haman, who was second in command in the Persian Empire, had a confrontation with Mordecai. It was usual that people would bow down to this man who was second in charge. However, Mordecai refused to do this because he was a Jew. Haman became very angry and as a result of this began to plot against Mordecai's people, the Jews. Now, Sarah is going to read for us again out of Esther chapter 3, verses 8 to 11.
Then Haman said to King Ahasuerus, "There is a certain people dispersed among the peoples in all the provinces of your kingdom who keeps themselves separate. Their customs are different from those of all other people, and they do not obey the king's laws. It is not in the king's best interest to tolerate them. If it pleases the king, let a decree be issued to destroy them, and I will give 10,000 talents of silver to the king's administrators for the royal treasury." So the king took off his signet ring and gave it to Haman, the enemy of the Jews. "Keep the money," the king said to Haman, "and do with the people as you please."
Something that I'll just explain right here. He took off the signet ring and gave it to Haman. The signet ring was used for sealing various documents, signifying that the king himself had authorized it. Anyway, here we find that Haman uses the law of Moses, which the Jews lived under, against the Jews. He misrepresented the law to the king, and he misinformed the king that there was a conflict with the law of Moses and the Persian law of the land. It's interesting to know that we don't otherwise read of the Jews being a problem to the king. However, the king trusted Haman. Of course, he was second in command. And instead of looking into what Haman had reported, the king gave him authority to sign into law the murder and destruction of the Jewish people. But of course, this plot was just not only designed to kill Mordecai, who Haman was very upset with, but to destroy all of the Jews in the land because of one man who had an axe to grind with another man. King Ahasuerus was deceived, and all the Jews were in threat of being put to death. Now, you can just imagine this situation. Of course, something had to be done very, very quickly. Now, I'm going to call on Sarah again to now read a rather lengthy portion out of Esther chapter 4, verses 1 to 17. We're going to read this because it's good to be reading the scripture as it is. We're reading from the NIV version. Sarah will read and I will interrupt along the way.
When Mordecai learned of all that had been done, he tore his clothes, put on sackcloth and ashes, and went out into the city, wailing loudly and bitterly.
So when Mordecai became aware of this plot, he was overwhelmed with sorrow, and he knew something had to be done quickly. Verse 3.
In every province to which the edict and order of the king came, there was a great mourning among the Jews, with fasting, weeping, and wailing. Many lay in sackcloth and ashes. When Esther's attendants came and told her about Mordecai, she was in great distress. She sent clothes for him to put on instead of his sackcloth, but he would not accept them.
So Esther's in the palace, but as this order went out to the various villages and towns, you can imagine why the Jews immediately panicked, weeping and wailing and laying themselves down in sackcloth and ashes. Anyway, Mordecai sent word to Esther, but Esther initially just tried to cheer him up by sending him some new clothes. Mordecai was desperate to get Esther to understand just how serious this situation was, so he refused the gifts and he pleaded that she go and talk to the king. Verse 5.
Then Esther summoned one of the king's eunuchs assigned to attend her and ordered him to find out what was troubling Mordecai and why. So the king's eunuch went out to Mordecai in the open square of the city in front of the king's gate. Mordecai told him everything that had happened to him, including the exact amount of money Haman had promised to pay into the royal treasury for the destruction of the Jews. He also gave him a copy of the text of the edict for their annihilation to show to Esther and explain it to her, and he told him to instruct her to go into the king's presence to beg for mercy and plead with him for her people. So the king's eunuch went back and reported to Esther what Mordecai had said. Then she instructed him to say to Mordecai, "All the king's officials and the people of the royal provinces know that for any man or woman who approaches the king in the inner court without being summoned of the king has but one law, that they be put to death unless the king extends the gold scepter to them and spares their lives. But 30 days have passed since I was called to go to the king."
So here we have a very big problem. Esther was well aware that she couldn't just walk into the king's court. Even as his wife, she had to be summoned. It says, as we read, if anybody went in there uninvited, then they could be put to death. Esther knew she would be taking an incredible risk. This risk of hers also, if she didn't do what was being advised, would put the Jews at risk. So we can understand why she was afraid. Sarah, verse 12, please.
When Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, he sent back this answer. "Do not think that because you were in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this."
So Mordecai challenged Esther's fear. Sometimes we need people to challenge us in our fear or maybe our weaknesses, that we should trust in God. But Mordecai pointed out that possibly you have been placed into the kingdom as the queen for such a time as this. As we've already said, the book of Esther does not directly mention God, but we are starting to see that God's fingerprints are on this whole matter. Mordecai appears to realize that Esther was God's appointed mouthpiece. Verse 15.
Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai. Go, gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my attendants will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law, and if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went away and carried out all of Esther's instructions.
Very often when I read the Bible, I try to put myself in the situation. And putting myself in the situation, I think I would be, deeply considering what I would be going to do. Would I just boldly step out, or would I start to calculate? Well, Esther had a very, very difficult decision. Literally, it could cost her life. But Esther knew that something needed to be done. Something had to happen. She said, first of all, get all the Jews in Shushan to pray and to fast. That's a good start. Get everybody to pray and to fast. And then she said, she made this statement, if I die, then I die. But I have to try and make a difference. Let's realize that Esther was scared, but she placed her faith in God and trusted that whatever happened would be according to God's will. And that's very important in all these matters. We often calculate, well, what about me? But when we step out in faith, we are trusting God for the best outcome. So she demonstrated authentic faith by stepping out into the unknown and trusting God for the results. So what does it mean to have faith? That's a good question. What does it mean to have faith? It's easier, very easy to talk about faith and say, oh yes, I have faith. Very often when we say we have faith, we're just saying, well, I believe in something. People can say, I believe that God is a healer. But trusting God to heal them is a different matter. It's stepping out. It's coming and asking for the elders to lay hands on you and pray for you, or to call to the pastor to come to the hospital and pray for you. And truly trust that this is not just something magic, but through this, by obeying God's command, we are putting ourselves in God's hand and trusting him. So the source of faith, of course, we understand the source of faith is the Holy Spirit. But sometimes we look at other people and we think, wow, they must have an amazing ability because God answers their prayers. God goes with them. However, yes, we do realize that some people do have a special gift of faith, as mentioned in the book of Corinthians, but every one of us who are filled with the Holy Spirit need to demonstrate faith, not just sit idly. We need to demonstrate our faith. And this is proving that we really trust in God. We can understand that sometimes we may be afraid of stepping out. We may think, well, I've got doubt in my mind. Because I've got doubt, therefore I haven't got enough faith. But consider Queen Esther's example here, Esther did not know if the king would grant her favour. That's why she said, if I perish, I perish. Esther had doubt and she was afraid, but she still acted. Of course, we tend to think there's some sort of perfect faith that brings about the action of God. But faith is not about being completely sure of everything. It's stepping out and allowing God to do it, because we are not the ones who are going to do it. It's God. Remember the man who said to Jesus, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Amazing statement that was made. Knowing that ultimately God was going to work things out for good. Even when we are afraid or in doubt, we can demonstrate our faith by taking action that demonstrates our trust in God. So we're going to now look at living an authentically faithful life. Well, living an authentically faithful life doesn't mean, well, I'm going to give up work tomorrow and just trust God. No, that would be ridiculous. That would be reckless. That would be avoiding responsibility, and God doesn't want us to live that way. But there are things that we must trust God in, not to be foolish, but trust God in. And Sarah's going to read for us Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7.
Therefore, just as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to walk in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness.
Notice here that it says established in the faith. When we are first converted, there's a need to have saving faith, that is, a faith in Jesus that allows us to repent of our sin and then be obedient to him. But here the verse is talking about an establishment of faith in our lives. Basically, it means that we not only begin our walk with God by exercising faith toward him, but that we continue to walk in faith day by day and year by year. Faith, like repentance, is something that has to be maintained in our life. And once the foundation has been laid, faith becomes our new principle of life. May I just say now, if I stand here before you, my faith is being tested. And I have decided that in this situation, I am going to trust God, because there's nothing I can do that will make this come to pass except that I will trust in God, that his will be done for his glory. We all know Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. It says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. The substance of things hoped for. Another version says, the assurance of things hoped for. So this assurance is something that we as God's children have, that he hears our prayer and he answers. Maybe not precisely how we want him to, but he will answer in such a way which is best. Amen. To the mature Christian, it is a reality of things yet to come. So let's look at a couple of headings. Living by faith means living and expecting that God is with us and for us. It is a total trust in him for our everyday needs. Isn't this wonderful? Isn't this a wonderful assurance that we as God's children, as we walk through life, that Jesus is with us all the time, caring for us and knowing our needs. Of course, we've not received everything yet that God has promised, but we believe and ask for strength and hope in anticipation of what will come. I found a beautiful verse in the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2 and verse 3 in the NIV. Sarah's going to read this for us. It's very, very assuring verse.
For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay.
It will certainly come. And in God's time, there will be no delay. Each time we experience the faithfulness of God, it's easier to anticipate His action in the future. He will fulfill our desires. If our desires are in the will of God and for the benefit of God's kingdom, we will receive them. Living by faith means growing in reliance on God as knowledge of Him increases. The next one, living by faith means being released from self-effort. This is a big, big lesson we all have to learn. I can tell you, I've had to learn this, and probably I have to learn it over and over and over again, that there are some things we just can't work out ourselves. We have to trust in God. Sometimes we get ourselves in a situation of anxiety and we get upset because we think that we should be able to work things out. But we live for a God, the God of miraculous, the God who will intervene for His children, just like He is intervening in this situation for the Jews. The next heading, living by faith is mixing believing with patience. Yes, patience. Waiting does not come easy to man. And when we really need something, it's very difficult to wait. How often have you prayed and said, Lord, I need this now? Maybe it doesn't come right now because God knows that He needs for us to be long-suffering and patiently enduring. Because patience allows God to develop a character in us, to give us a strong anchor in God, trusting Him. As the book of Hebrews says, He is an anchor of our soul. So when it comes to faith, we must be willing at least to step out. And that means to start small. If you're a new Christian, I wouldn't start praying for the big things. Just trust Him in the small things. Of course, He's well capable of meeting your needs in the big things. And to start off with, there is a big thing, and that is He gave you saving faith, and that is amazing because the difference between life and death. But little children have no problems about praying for small things. If you go to the Sunday school kids, when they pray, they will pray for their dog and they'll pray for other things, that it would be just a good day, simple things like that. So sometimes we need to learn to be as little children. I don't mean as simple as that, but just trust God for the simple things. Also, we must study God's word, because if we're studying God's word, we're reading about His promises. We're reading about all of His assurances for things in our life. Also, we need to understand the power of prayer and fasting. yes, deny ourselves. Esther required all the Jews to fast and pray. And no doubt they did, because their lives were at stake. Next, not only should we pray, but we should pray with boldness. Be bold and trust God that he will not only hear your prayer, but he will more than accomplish what we could ever imagine. Finally, we must act upon our faith. We must step out. Many times it requires us to do something. Many people have testified about the fact that their finances are so tight. And I know somebody who was in this church, who is now a minister, who came to me and said they couldn't make ends meet financially. My advice to them was, trust God and tithe to him. Give what belongs to God and trust him. It was difficult, but in the end, he did it. And God answered him in a miraculous way by giving him a promotion that he never, ever would have dreamed about. So start small. That's okay. But then learn to push beyond what is comfortable and attempt to do something for Jesus. I trust tonight that this lesson has helped you just to understand a little bit. Read the book of Esther yourself. Read about how God was working behind the scenes. Sometimes we don't see God standing beside us, or we don't see amazing things, but all the time, God is working with us. If you find yourself in a situation that you didn't expect, or maybe you didn't even want to be in, you can be sure that in there, God is not only going to teach you something, but he wants to do something. He wants to do something that he couldn't otherwise do unless he used you. So I finish now. The book of Esther not only tells us a story about an amazing woman, it simply shows how God desires to also work with us. So let's just pray as we close. Lord Jesus, we don't want our lives to be ordinary. We all want a taste of the supernatural. Lord, you working in our lives and through our lives. Lord, we want to be a tool in your hands to achieve and to do, Lord, amazing things. Maybe we're not a preacher. Maybe we're not the best prayer. Maybe we're not the biggest giver. But Lord, prompt us to step out in faith and to trust you. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Thank you.